were listening to Christmas music at home this morning. Julie was listening to Christmas music this morning at home, and I would happen to be there. And this song came on, and she said, "I love that song. I wonder if John knows about it." And so we show up, and clearly John did. Haven't you been blessed by our worship ministry these last 24 hours? I tell you, it's been amazing. It's been amazing. John and Jeremy and the entire volunteer staff and the worship team have been working for months to prepare us for last night and then to prepare us again to worship the Lord this morning. And I've just been really blessed by the effort that they have put forth. They have gone without sleep these last 24 hours. They didn't get to sleep in quite as late as what you did. They've been here rehearsing. It's just been great. And then I know none of them are in here, but we have a custodial staff that had to start prepping this room from last night's worship services almost as soon as the service was over. And I know you think, well, they get paid to do it. Well,
Not much.
So I will tell you, folks, lots of people have put in a lot of hours to give us an awesome opportunity to worship the Lord Jesus this morning. I'm very excited this Christmas morning being a Sunday. The last time Christmas morning was on a Sunday, I was recovering from surgery and not at all having a great time. So I feel much better than I did at that point. All we need today is to hear from Scripture. And so I will read the account of Christ's birth from Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who is with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. At the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all the peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And as his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him, and Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. On the surface of things, there is nothing at all threatening about that story. Nothing sinister. It's a baby, a quiet baby, nestled in a manger, in a stable. Nothing at all threatening or uncomfortable about it. But if you peer below the surface, you will find out that it's scandalous, this story we just read. And it's not scandalous because of an untimely pregnancy. It's not scandalous because of the explanation. The Holy Spirit was the one who conceived this child in Mary. It's not scandalous because of the miracles and the angels appearing. It's scandalous because of the cause that drove it. You see, what drove the incarnation of Christ was mankind's need to be redeemed from their sin. We don't like to think of our sin. We don't like to think of ourselves as sinners. And we certainly don't like to think of our sinfulness being so reprehensible in the sight of God that we would need drastic means to have the relationship that had been obliterated by our sin restored. And yet that is exactly why the story that we just read together took place. You and I are sinners, separated from God, hopeless in our sin. And were it not for the unilateral action of God to redeem us from our sin, we would have no hope. That's the scandal to a modern world. And so today, as we come together on Christmas Day, we must, as Jesus followers, give thought to what drove this and celebrate its benefit to us through the experience of communion. Christ instituted the communion meal, the Lord's Supper, mere hours before his crucifixion. Matthew records for us that they were eating the Passover meal. And Jesus took the bread of the Passover meal, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." Now, literally, Christ did not mean it was his body. But figuratively, he did. Why would he point to the bread as his body? Because of how the bread is prepared. The bread, you see, was unleavened. And in the world in which Christ lived, leaven, yeasts, had become symbolic of sin in someone's life, especially as it was represented in the Passover. And so he was saying, "I am the sinless one. And in my body, I have the capacity to be the sacrifice that is required of God for your sin." He said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Now, literally, he did not mean that the cup was his blood, but what it represented in the Passover meal was important. There are, in the Passover meal, four ceremonial cups consumed. The one that he was pointing to here is known as the cup of redemption, which pictures or symbolizes the blood of the lamb, the Passover lamb, whose blood was spread above the doorpost and the doorways of the people of Israel, keeping them from the judgment of God that was befalling the Egyptians the night before they were delivered out of Egypt to become the nation of Israel. Christ is saying, not only does this cup symbolize me, the lamb whose blood was shed symbolizes me. And so on this last night, he's trying to put all the pieces together for his disciples, saying, "I came, I was born in a manger for this." And because he has done that, when we follow his lead and take these elements of bread and cup together, we are identifying with what he came to do. We are saying we are sinners in need of a Savior. And we have found that salvation in Jesus as he lived a perfect life, able to die a perfect sacrifice for our sins. If you are a guest here with us today, we invite you to celebrate in the communion meal with us. We only put the restrictions on you that Scripture places on you. If you have received Christ as Savior and Lord and given public testimony of that salvation through baptism, you are welcome to join us and to receive the elements of communion. And on this Christmas morning, there are children who are with us. And in just a moment, I want you children to understand that your mother and father may not permit you to take anything from these trays that you see almost everybody else taking something from. I want you to understand you're not in trouble at all. What you have today is a very special job, and that job is to watch and to listen to what is going on and pay attention to the things that we are doing. And then if you have any questions about it, ask your mother and father, your aunt, uncle, grandma, grandpa about this and what it means, and they'll explain it to you, and we believe that there will come a day when you too will be able to receive what you see in these cups. But for today, just watch and listen. The final instruction that we have is what Scripture instructs us to do, and that is to spend some time making sure that we are taking this meal in a worthy manner. Meaning, as a follower of Jesus, has anything intruded into my life, anything latched on to my life which is sinful, sinful in habit, sinful in attitude, that I need to confess as sin before God? And if you do that and receive the forgiveness that he has offered you through Christ, then you are taking this meal in what Scripture says is a worthy manner. So let's spend some time quietly reflecting before God and preparing ourselves spiritually for this event of communion.